Good morning. Are you listening? That was a great video. And I've been away, and they put that together, and it kind of fits right in with my message. And it's great to be here. If you see, I'm all computered up. Got tech problems. I lost all my main notes. Just trying to print them before church, and it didn't work. So got bits and pieces on both. So bear with me, and if I struggle on the iPad, it's because the font's too low, and I'm into progressives, I guess, is what I need to call them. So I can't enlarge it. So bear with me. But how many people know that God's good?
Yes.
God's good. We were away and worked. We went away to do some work on our house. We had rented it out, and then our kids lived in it for a while, and we had to go home and do some reno work to it. And my wife and I, we overexerted ourselves. You know, we thought we were 25. Again, well, she's 25, but I'm a little older than that. But we worked hard, 5 o'clock in the morning till 10 at night. The night we left, she was up till like 2:30, still cleaning. Then we left we got up at 3:30. And so how many people know it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit?
Yes.
And so I'm going to speak this message not by my might or my power, but only the power of the gods today. And so we're into this series, and Pastor Ken started on spiritual senses and being sensitive to the spirit and listening to the voice of the Lord. And so as I thought about some of these things and I allowed the Lord to speak to me, I had some direction that I wanted to go with this. And, it's interesting how sometimes we struggle to hear the voice of the Lord. And we struggle to hear the voice and determine voices anyhow. And so I want to talk about determining, you know, the voices that we hear. And spiritual awareness is really where I want to concentrate. And they kind of go together. And, you know, sometimes we as individuals are not very aware of things. You know, our wife, you know, may want us to help do the dishes because the whole island and sink is full, and us as men, we don't even see that. We just see that, oh, maybe the football game's on or the Raptors are on, and we just leave it, but our wife wants us to help her. And sometimes we struggle with being aware of what's happening in the world. See, we live in this physical world, but everything is determined in the spiritual realm. But this physical world affects us. And, you know, we just sometimes aren't aware of things. And, you know, when I was thinking about it, I was thinking about some friends of ours a few years ago. The wife was driving down the highway, and the oil light come on to check the oil. And she didn't think anything of it. You know, she just kept driving. And then she looked out the back and noticed it was kind of smoking and making stuff. She just kept right on driving. Didn't pull over, didn't do nothing. She was just unaware of the situation. You know, I'll get home and let my husband look at it. Well, she never got home, you know. It just locked up and seized up, and she just wasn't aware of a situation. And sometimes in our lives, we get that way. We're just not aware of what's happening in our life. We're kind of clouded. We seem to be blinded by what's going on. You know, sometimes in the midst of things, we can't see the reality. And, I mean, we all know that the saying is, we can't see the forest for the trees. And how many people are, am I the only one that gets like that every once in a while? Huh? Yeah, I am. Oh, no, there's a couple more people like me. Everybody else is doing good then. But we need to be aware of things, you know, our surroundings. And And we need to be aware of God's word. We need to be aware of his voice. And so talking about his voice, sometimes it's very hard to distinguish. And we've been given tools to be able to discern the voice of the Lord. But, you know, sometimes it works through processes of eliminations. Sometimes you'll hear a word and you think it's coming from God and it's coming from somewhere else. So I think we need to really look at this today and talk a little bit more about it. Before I come over from the office this morning, I had this brainwave and I was thinking about, I think us as Christians, a lot of us are ADHD. I think we have attention deficit hyperactive disorder. And I know I took the test there a few years ago, and I kind of fit in that whole situation. Other than I can focus. I can get focused on something, and I can just hang right with it till it's done. So I fall short in that area. But when I looked up the 10 things, I thought, wow, this talks about a lot of Christians. And like one is like distractions and keeping your, and so it said, you know, distractions, keeping your mind keeps wandering. See, my mind's wandering, right? You know, and so it said short attention span. I think a lot of Christians have that in church. Can go to sleep real quick if the preacher is dead and dry or gets off on something that you're not interested in. I want to keep it short this morning so everybody gives me the thumbs up. But when I was reading through that, I thought, you know what? You know, there's a lot of Christians that have that disorder. And we need to be aware. We need to be aware of what's going on. And we need to focus our attention on spiritual things and on God's voice. And so my first point is being spiritually aware. And I think hearing God's, determining God's voice and direction in our life, we have to be spiritually aware. In 1 Thessalonians it says, so then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. That's in the NIV. King James Version says, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Bear with me. I'm reading slow because it's all in fine print. And I need to magnify this a little bit. Peter says this. Says in 1 Peter, be sober spirit. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Be on the alert. Be aware. When you're driving down the highway, when you're driving down these streets, you know how you have to be aware. At any moment, the crazy drivers could hit you. Be aware. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He's telling us to be sober and alert. He's challenging us to be alert. And sometimes we're just kind of dull. Our senses are dull. You know, when I was driving home, we were so tired, and I was in the truck. My senses were dull to the traffic, and my wife was dull, too, but she was staying awake because she kept saying to me, are you awake? Are you awake? You know, and my eyes would, you know, I'd be like this. I'd try to relax. She's like, are your eyes open? I'm like, yes, they're open. Would you just leave me alone so I could sleep? Please, please. Well, my senses were dull, right? But I'm glad I have her to keep me awake. So, you know, we're encouraged to be alert and to be sober so that we can discern things. It says in Psalms, teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Spiritual awareness. We need to work in those areas of our life. We're in this world, the enemy's around. He wants to deter us from God's plan for our life, the directions we're going. And if he can, he will. So we need to be alert. We need to watch. We need to pay attention. We need to be, what's going on? Alert, aware, spiritually aware. And sometimes the thing is we just don't recognize it. And we need to recognize the works of the enemy. Okay? So if we're trying to discern what's of God and what's not, you know, if you can determine, oh, well, this is not scriptural or this is not what God wants, it helps you. Sometimes we just need to recognize the works of the enemy. It's that simple. And the Bible is a good gauge for it. It breaks it down for us. But we need to recognize it. We need to have our spiritual eyes open and our mind alert. And we need to begin to recognize some things that the enemy does. The Bible says in John 10:10, it says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The word says, the enemy comes to steal, destroy, and kill. We all have a bullseye on us. We're all under attack in every area of our life. My area might be different than yours, and yours might be different than the next person's. But the enemy is there to try to kill us, to steal from us, to destroy us. That is Satan's mission. We need to recognize that in our lives. Because when we can recognize that the enemy is trying to attack us, then we know where it's coming from. The Bible says that we don't wrestle against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities and power. Sometimes we want to blame our wife or our husband, you know, for the way they're treating us or the way they're acting toward us. It's not them. A lot of times it's the enemy working in them. We don't like to talk about that, but he uses us. And I'll explain how there was a person used in two ways by God, and or one way by God and one way by Satan. But, you know, we need to realize these things in our life. And when we recognize them, we can be more victorious. But when we don't recognize the device of the enemy, that it's him working to destroy us. It's him trying to break our family up. It's him trying to pull our son or our daughter away from him. It's his work trying, it's the enemy trying to give us a hard time on our job, you know, with our employees. We need to recognize what's going on. Sometimes we just don't recognize the things that are happening. And, you know, I mean, we've all been there. See, the enemy is smart. The enemy is smart. He knows what he's doing. In Genesis, it says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. He's cunning. He's smart. He can use things. He can manipulate things. He can lie to us. He can twist things to deceive us. The plan God has for your life, the destiny he has for you, he can take and distort that and try to pull you away from that. He can try to break the union between you and your spouse. Because he knows if he can split you up, your ministry won't be as effective. Maybe God has a big plan for you. Recognize, be spiritually aware. Spiritual awareness. Be careful who you sup with. That's a King James word, I think, sup. Who you have supper with. Who you allow at your table. Who you communicate with. Don't let the devil sit right up to your table and you talk back and forth to him. Don't. Recognize his works. Don't sit at the table with your wife and start saying, oh, that person is trouble. I don't like that, you know. They shouldn't have done this to me, you know. Or that person I work with, they're the worst person in the world. I can't stand them. I wish they would just get fired, you know. Don't have those conversations. Recognize that the enemy can use that conversation to pull you down. We have to recognize. You know, sometimes we don't recognize things. And I bought this beautiful horse. This has been 18 years ago. And like I'm telling you, like if I ever got excited over anything, this horse was great. It was a black and white paint. Everybody know how to paint horses? Black and white patch, okay? Beautiful. Come off the west, off a cattle ranch, steer him with your legs. You could let go of the reins. And he just knew what to do. You could neck rein him. You know, you didn't have to do anything. You know, he was smart. And he was beautiful. You know, nice build to him. He was muscular. He was an athlete. And I was so excited over this horse. And I was kind of infatuated with him. And one day we had this event, and I was riding him, and then he just exploded. And he hurt me really bad. Broke my shoulder, dislocated, just a whole bunch of things. Just bad scene, really bad scene. But what I'm saying is, I didn't recognize some things in the beginning. I was so infatuated with this horse, and I loved this creature. I was like, man, it's perfect. But that horse had some problems, and it hurt me. And I didn't see him until after I stepped back, was laying on the couch with my arm wrapped and stuff, was thinking about that horse, and I sent him to my friends, and they both got hurt. I didn't mean to get my friends hurt, but they were horse guys. They were well known. The one guy, he did the rodeos on the weekend, and it slammed him and broke a couple ribs on him, and he said, we just should sell that for a bucking horse. And anyhow, we didn't sell it to anybody that would ever ride it again and get hurt. But saying that, I stepped back and I seen some signs after, when I was thinking about the horse, that there was different times I would saddle the horse and he was a little bit, you know, edgy and a little bit finicky. Just you can just kind of tell. But I wasn't looking at those signs because I was so in love with this horse. But see, we can be deceived. We can think we're hearing the voice of the Lord. We can think we want to do it our way, a certain way. And we can deceive ourselves. Or we can be deceived by the looks. You know, the Bible also says that there are ravaging wolves that come in sheep's clothing. And it, on the outside, it may look good. And that's always how the enemy works, yeah. Right? You're praying about something, and this looks so good. This is perfect for me. This is the perfect job, and blah, 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 blah. And he'll do that to distract you, or, you know, maybe it's a young guy that pulls you away, or a girl that pulls you away, or maybe it's a bad business deal. But he'll make it look so good to captivate you. And you'll get trapped in that. I've got trapped before, and I hate it. I always hate it when I get stung. I don't know, anybody else got stung? I can remember when I was a kid, I bought this car, and I don't even want to talk about it because it's so stupid. I bought this car, and I drove it home. It was like one of these little used car lots that was like 50 feet or 50 seconds, or you get her to the curb and you got her, the curb and gutter warranty, right? I drove a half an hour to my house, and I think it took 3 liters of oil. And I was like, oh, I was like, you know, I felt like somebody needs to give me a stupid slap, you know? But I mean, we've all been there. We've all done that stuff, right? But you know what? We can be aware of these things.
Is this for good? Or is this a temporary fix? Now I'm going to be held down by a mic. I like to get my hands going. I can't. Where was I? Sheep. They look like sheep, but they're ravaging wolves. And the wolves look to destroy and devour. Be alert. Be on guard. Watch what's happening. Allow your spirit man to break it down and discern it. One minute, God can use us, and the next minute, Satan can use us if we're not spiritually aware. And so we need to expose the works of the enemy. We not need to just recognize, a lot of times we'll recognize the enemy, he's at work, but we do nothing about it. It's like I recognize that I need to pick my clothes up on the floor because my wife hates it, but I don't do it, right? And then every once in a while she exposes me and says, you know, you're a slob. You know, you need to pick your clothes up, you know. There's times that we realize what's going on, but we don't. And so Peter was a great example of this. And in the first part of Matthew 16, you know, Jesus says to Peter, he says, Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. And he says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So Jesus says this to Peter, and Peter's one of his disciples, one of us, Christians just like us, right? Just one of us. And he was close to God. And then what happens as you read down, Jesus begins to share about the upcoming, that he was going to die, he was going to raise again. And what's Peter do? Peter begins to rebuke Jesus. He rebukes him. So what happens? Jesus turned to Peter and said, get thee behind thee, Satan, for you are an offense to me. Right there. So he went from being great and used of God, to now he gets, Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. He exposes it. You know, Peter lets his flesh get in the way. He lets his personal mindset get in the way. He listens to the wrong voices, and obviously he's listening to the voice of the enemy, because why would Satan want Jesus to go to the cross? He doesn't want him to go to the cross. That's why he's putting that in Peter's mind, not just that Peter has this love affair and affection for Jesus, but if Jesus goes to the cross, all mankind gets a pass. You see, it's the same way with us. One minute we can be right in tune, we can be right on with God, and the next minute we can listen to the wrong voice, and we can be sitting in Peter's seat and being rebuked by God. We need to be spiritually aware. And you know, I think there's just times we need to expose things. I think sometimes we just cover things up too much. You know, we say, oh, well, you know, we don't want to, if we're in a marriage and we're having difficulties, we want to say, well, it's this person's personality, or it's this, that. We'd hate to say, There's a spirit of division in this house. Call it what it is. There's a spirit of division. God doesn't want me to part. God doesn't want it to take place. But sometimes we don't want to touch those things. We don't want to expose the true things. And we need to do that. There's times when we're under attack. And we need to just say, no, in the name of Jesus, I recognize that this is an attack. This is a spiritual attack on my family. And I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I am not going to allow this. I'm going to expose you right now in the name of Jesus. You know, or there's attack on your finances and say, no, I'm not going to let you, Satan, attack my finances. I have given, and the word says it's given unto me, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I expose you right now in the name of Jesus. The word says that if I bring all my tithes in the storehouse, he'll rebuke the devourer for my case. Call it the way it is. Abortion, they're murderers. But the church is afraid to stand up, or Christians are. When you read in what's happening in the States, and they want to take the life of a child after it's born, even before, it's murder. You can call it whatever you want to call it. It's not a woman's choice. It's plain murder. And we need to stand up to those things. But yet, we don't want to call it what it is. There's that life's alive. There's so many things that we need to expose. Sin is sin. And you see, Jesus is the light of the world. And he will expose. I'm jumping ahead of myself. I just want to stop here for a minute and say, everyone has a blind side. Everyone here, we all have a blind side, something we can't see. And that's why it's important to be spiritually aware, so we can not be blindsided. I can remember hockey, blindsided. I wasn't paying attention, had my head down, and this guy that was twice as big as me hit me so hard with my head down. I was blindsided. He just steamrolled me off. By the time I got up off the ice, they were down the other end of the rink. I was still just staggering to get to the bench. There's times we can get blindsided. We can't see certain things coming, right? And we need to be spiritually aware of these things and not be blindsided. You know, Samson, he got blindsided. Fell in love with a Delilah and told her his secret to his strength, and he suffered consequences because of it. He was just totally blindsided. But I'm thankful that God still comes back when we're blindsided, restores the power that we need in our life. And even when we feel like we may be in a position we're defeated or the odds are against us, the Spirit of the Lord will come in because his power is in us. And he'll restore things. So be careful you're not blindsided. Now the light, here's where we get on track. The light exposes darkness. The light will overshadow the darkness. It'll bring everything to light. I'm going to read a scripture. Just bear with me because this print is so fine. Says, in him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Ephesians says, it is shameful even to talk about the things that are ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed in the light shines on them. When the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. Jesus is the light of the world. When you're having a hard time distinguishing the difference between the voices and discerning the voice of God, Allow the light to shine. Allow Jesus to take the step forward and be foremost and in the front of our life. Because when he's in there, that light will shine and the brightness will come and you'll be able to see clearly. Because in the darkness, when we're living in the darkness, we're trying to, you know, where is that? I know I got a bottle of water here somewhere, but it's dark in here, right? I'm trying to find it, but all of a sudden the light comes on and, oh, there it is right there. When the light is on us, when Jesus' light is in us and it's shining, you'll know what's wrong. You'll know what's right because that'll be your forefront. Allow the light to shine in your life. Spiritual awareness. Before I go to my next point, I'll tell you a story. Oh, still got some time. When I was, I just got to tell you this because I thought it was kind of cool how God works. I was on my way to New Brunswick, and on the way, I looked in my rearview mirror, and I noticed some smoke coming out of a tire. And it was good I was being aware of things because it could have been worse than that. But it blew the bearings, and I pulled over, and it was a problem. So I limped off to a Husky truck stop. And I needed to fix it, and I had limited tools and called my buddy, talked to him for a few minutes. But as I was there, I didn't have much to work with. There was this truck sitting beside us. And I was beating on the axle trying to fix it, you know, in a parking lot with no tools and no parts. And this older gentleman gets out of his truck, had Nova Scotia plates, and he come over to me and he said, looks like you got some issues. And I said, yeah. He said, blow the bearings? I said, yeah. And so we talked and he said, look, he said, jump in my truck. He said, I'll take you into Kingston and we'll get the parts you need. So we went in there and we talked and I talked as we drove in there. And he told me, you know, I used to be really involved in church at one time, and my wife still is. And he said, I work a lot on weekends. Pulled away. And I said, well, talk to him about the goodness of God and how he's always in control and he's always there for us. And just shared a little more about the gospel. And we got the parts, we went back, and I fixed it, and he said, you look like you're almost done. And I said, yeah. I said, how much do I owe you? He said, you don't owe me anything. He said, you did more for me than what I did for you. You see, we need to be spiritually aware. You see, if I wouldn't have took time to, I could have just rode in the truck with him, got the parts and went back. I didn't have to share the gospel with him. He said to me, he said, can I have one of your business cards? He said, I want to watch you guys online. He said, I drive in the truck, and he said, I listen to Joel Osteen. He said, I know I need to get back in. But he said, you did more for me than what I did for you. You see, it's important we're spiritually aware today, that we're being led by the right voices and not the wrong voices. You see, we have that opportunity every day to influence somebody's life. And so, closing, I'll shorten it off, but I need to make this point. To help you with your discernment, you have to be spiritually aware. You have to have a close connection to the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God that's left here on this earth for us to function. Sometimes we don't realize that. Jesus walked this earth and he left. But he left us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the intelligence of God. Okay? That's the intelligence of God. And in Scripture it'll say, you know, who knows the things of a man but in his mind, but the man, right? But to know spiritual things, you have to know the mind of Christ. And you have to have the Holy Spirit living and operating in you in order to discern certain things. And when the Holy Spirit is our guide and our teacher, we have discernment on the voice. And I like to put it just like a GPS. You know, that GPS, if we plug into it our destination, we can get to our destination if you have an up-to-date one. If you're out to date, you might get lost. So maybe it's a good thing to spend a lot more time with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, and have your updates done. Sometimes we're outdated. But this GPS works. You know, and how many times have we ever tried to travel places before GPS comes in, or if it's broke, and we get lost? We're looking for a place, we can't find it. But you see, the Holy Spirit's our GPS. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows where we're at. He knows where we're going. He knows how to get us there. When we're weak, he knows how to make us strong. When we don't know what decision to do, we need to ask him and listen to him, because he's our GPS. It's like putting a piece of furniture together, or when I was home, we were putting this digital door lock on, and you know, we thought we could do it without the directions, and we put it on, and then we couldn't get it to work, so then my buddy and I were reading the directions, trying to figure it out, and we were taking two heads trying to figure it out. But we tend to want to do things on our own without following the directions, and then we get in a mess, and then we have to go back to God. Follow his leading. Gleam on his intelligence. Use his wisdom and his knowledge to help guide you in every area of your life. And you will know the voice of God when you allow the Holy Spirit to direct you. Let's stand. How many people here today need to be more spiritually aware? That's good. I think we all do. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the gifts you've given us, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that you have planted here on earth to live within us, to be our guide, to be our spiritual intelligence in this physical world that we may not know where to go and what to do, but your Holy Spirit knows how to guide us and how to direct us and knows how to help us discern your will for our life and the directions in our life, Lord. And Lord, I just pray today that we will push closer to you, to your Spirit, Holy Spirit, so that we'll become one and that we'll know your voice when you speak to us. Lord, I pray that homes that are in disarray right now, I pray, Lord, that they would be straightened out. I pray that you'll be number one in those homes and that you will lead each house here the way you would have them to be led. Lord, I pray that you'll be the light in their world to their path. Lord, that they will make the right steps, Lord, and I pray that we'll recognize the works of the enemy when he comes and tries to attack us. Lord, I pray that we'll realize that it's not flesh and blood, but we'll realize that it's principalities and power. And Lord, that we'll expose the works of the enemy whenever we can, and that we'll hold fast to your Holy Spirit. Lord, I declare these things over everyone's lives here in this place. Lord, I speak a blessing. Lord, I pray for anyone here today that needs healing in their body. In the name of Jesus, I declare your word that says, by your stripes we're healed. I declare financial prosperity on people that are struggling financially. Lord, to those that are bound by depression, we rebuke that spirit and we bind that up in the name of Jesus, and we speak the spirit of freedom on their life in the name of Jesus. May you free those that are addicted today, Lord. in any area of their lives. And we give you the glory today, Lord. We know that you're the name that's far above all principalities and power. Lord, that you're greater than anything in this world. Lord, we give you praise today in Jesus' name. Amen.